Hello, Burlington, and welcome to Net Zero Energy. I'm Jennifer Green, Director of Sustainability for the City of Burlington, where our goal is to reduce and eventually eliminate fossil fuel usage. Today, we're really pleased to have Elizabeth Palchek with us. Liz is the Director of Sustainability at UVM. Liz has been in her job, I think, for maybe 2 or 3 years now, and we're just so thrilled to have her with us. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome.
Hi, Jen. It's good to be here.
Yeah, so we have been paying attention to UVM because we know that you launched a major initiative about a year ago, and I've seen an updated report. Tell us a little bit about what that initiative is and what you launched.
You know, UVM has a long history of leadership on sustainability in higher education. We've been doing this work for decades, but the Comprehensive Sustainability Plan is something that we released last year around Earth Day, and it's really an extension of this work that we've been doing for years. And so we're working to connect the many efforts across campus and kind of connect the dots for people and then refocus our efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So we released it last year, and it's right in the name. It's comprehensive. It covers sustainability from soup to nuts and covers four key areas, and that's decarbonization, our operations, governance and people, and academics. And then this year, around Earth Day, we did a big update.
So tell us about the update. How do things look?
We are moving forward. We're making strong progress in a lot of these goals. So in these four key areas, we set goals like things like planting more pollinator gardens on campus or creating sustainable purchasing policies to guide what we're buying and bringing to campus. But one section of the plan is exclusively devoted to decarbonization and sets a goal of carbon neutrality by 2030. And this year, this January, we reduced our carbon emissions 60% compared to a 2007 baseline when we started collecting this data on our emissions. So we're feeling really good about our progress.
Can you tell us a little bit about the decarbonization in buildings? Because, of course, that's the intersectionality, I think, of BED and your work and something we're, as energy providers, particularly interested in. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you about the buildings, and then I'll also tell you a little bit about what we're doing with our fleet, because that's very connected to our work with BED. So on the building side, we're in the final stages of our first campus energy plan, and we've needed this for years. It's a kind of a master plan so that we can prioritize where we should be making investments over the next 10 years. We need to really understand what our heavy energy users on campus are on campus, and then how to reduce the emissions associated with these various buildings. So we're looking closely at the strategic installation of heat pumps, including ground source heat pumps. And this spring, we dug our first geothermal test well to investigate the feasibility of heating and cooling our buildings with geothermal technology. We have a district energy plan on campus that is right at the center of campus. If you're familiar with campus, it's right by the library. And that district energy plan is run primarily on natural gas, and it sends steam all over campus. And so we're starting to think of our property is as energy hubs. So are there areas of campus that we can focus on and sort of tackle and sort of pull off the district plant and look at geothermal technology specifically? So we're looking at the south side of campus near the Athletic Center and also the north side of campus near the Trinity Center.
Well, that's exciting. So I imagine BED probably provided some incentive money or some help with those test wells.
Yeah, BED has been a great partner. The first piece of this is when we're thinking about our greenhouse gas emissions reductions, BED's work to procure 100% renewable energy has been really helpful for our work. That allows us to focus our resources on the greenhouse gas emissions associated with our thermal energy load and moves us closer to carbon neutrality. And we can kind of tackle what I think of as the really heavy load on campus. So they've been crucial as an advisor on all things around campus decarbonization. I put phone calls into BED to better understand the impact of weatherization in our buildings. And we've looked to them for rebates on electric vehicle chargers. But also, you're right, they're helping to defray the cost of our geothermal test wells, which is really critical for understanding what the opportunities might be on campus.
Well, that is really exciting. There is definitely a buzz about geothermal. And I think as more and more people understand it and the applicability or not to their buildings, the cost, return on investment, I mean, it's exciting that BED is helping UVM, such a key partner.
Yeah, I think it's central. And it, especially in higher education, it's really where we're seeing a lot of campuses go because it's such a sort of a number of buildings with different needs. And a lot of campuses like ours are run off these central systems. So, you know, Princeton and UMass Amherst, they're all kind of looking very seriously at this and even doing some construction. So BED's support of us to look into this at depth is incredibly helpful. It's crucial.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you touched on EVs. Do you want to talk a little bit about your fleet?
When I think of decarbonization, I think of buildings and I think of transportation. And we've made a lot of progress on the transportation side. We have some incredible champions on campus. Our sustainable transportation manager, Abby Blything, has thought deep and hard about how we're going to get to carbon neutrality. And we have a lot of faculty and staff who are committed to this work. So we've set the goal of electrifying our fleet and also reducing the size of our fleet by 10%. And in terms of electrification, we want to move to 100% of our light-duty vehicles by 2040 as being electric. In the last year, since we originally released the plan, we've tripled the number of electric vehicles on campus. So one of the kind of innovative things that we've worked out with our sustainable transportation manager is developing an MOU so that different departments on campus can share vehicles. So we're trying to reduce the number of vehicles and electrify, which means that like the Rubenstein School for Natural Resources, who has long been a leader in this space, shares their vans with the Student Government Association because the Student Government Association runs clubs and trips. They typically use their vehicles in the evenings and on weekends, and the Rubenstein School's faculty runs their vans in the middle of the day. So it's been a nice partnership, and we figured out something, I think, really cool and effective there that's going to help us make the best use of our resources.
You know, I love that. It seems so simple. Let's just share vehicles.
Oh, but it's not. It's so not simple. But you're right. Yeah. It seems that way. And then you really get into it. And it's a lot of logistics.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So you're going to reduce what you own by 10%. And then you're going to electrify what exists mm-hmm. by 2040. Mm-hmm. And how's that been going for you in terms of like, what do you think about like from a capital perspective? How do you make that work? And where do you get the money?
Right now, it's all about electric vehicle chargers. So we have, this is another area where we've made a lot of progress. We have an electric vehicle charging plan that maps out where these need to exist on campus. And right now we are in the process of installing close to 100 electric vehicle charging ports across different areas of campus. Those will go in over the next year, about 18 months, which we think is the largest single installation in the state. Because if we're going to transition our fleet, we have to be able to charge these vehicles. And in addition, we have a residential population, students who use our campus as home and need to be able to charge the increasing number of electric vehicles that they're bringing to campus. So we are heavily invested in this. And then I'll just say, you know, the other really important piece is that we're building infrastructure on campus to support biking and walking to and from campus and around campus. So we've got these two really beautiful covered bike shelters that are chock full and more on the way.
So let's talk a little bit about people that are coming to campus because that's complicated, right? I mean, I know for the city of Burlington, mm-hmm. of course, 700 some odd employees, many of whom travel from outside. We are members of CATMA, the Chittenden Area Transportation Management Association, mm-hmm. but it's tough. Mm-hmm. I don't know what plans you have in place to help reduce the degree to which folks are driving in to campus and internal combustion engine vehicles.
Mm-hmm. We're heavily engaged with CATMA, and right now we're focused on increasing bus ridership and making sure that as the rates come back for Green Mountain Transit, that we're educating our population and making sure that everybody has good public transportation options.
Yeah, and it's interesting how this all comes back in many ways to housing, the degree to which we have housing in town to encourage folks to live near campus, et cetera. I mean, so this whole realm of sustainability is so all-encompassing.
Yeah, it really touches everything, especially on a college campus, because you're right. It comes back to even how we're teaching about sustainability. Where is it showing up in our classrooms? Where is it showing up in our research initiatives, which is another thing that my office is working on. We launched the Sustainable Solutions Lab in the last year, which I'm very excited about. We host undergraduate and graduate interns to work on these gnarly, interesting problems that are complex and important and are sustainability issues that we need to figure out. And so we're really trying to use our campus as a living lab, because our campus is, you know, we often think of it as a small city. It's got a lot of the complexities and a lot of the challenges that a small city does. So getting students engaged on these questions helps us move forward.
Speaking of cities, you know, we have our sort of sister cities. Burlington is part of the New England Sustainability Network, so I'm often talking with my colleague in Portland, Maine, for example, or in Portsmouth. From who do you learn, and who comes to you for information and advice?
Mm-hmm. We're constantly in contact. University of Massachusetts Amherst is a close, you know, I would consider them a peer institution. They are right now looking at how they're going to fund a geothermal transition on their campus. So they're definite leaders. We've talked to the University of Southern Maine about the installation of passive house building certification that really reduces energy use in the buildings. And then we're looking to real leaders like Princeton, for instance. Harvard has an incredible sustainability plan where they're thinking really comprehensively, not just about decarbonization, but about the health impacts of decarbonization and where does sustainability hit really intersect with people and people's well-being, which is something that the University of Vermont is very interested in too. So there's a number of leaders out there, and you know, I feel lucky to be part of a network where we can reach out to each other. Tufts is another one. They have an incredible executive director of sustainability, because it's going to take all of us. This needs to be a collaborative effort to address the climate change issue.
Yeah, and I think, you know, speaking of collaborative, I'm thinking back towards buildings, and I'm thinking about some of the engagement we've had with UVM. And I'm thinking in particular about the building electrification ordinance that was passed in January, which applies a carbon impact pollution fee for major renovation. If your building is over 50,000 square feet, you need to replace a heating system, say. We're really happy to work with UVM to understand how policy would really play out on the ground. We want to advance, but we also want to make it realistic and possible. And we have to understand together as a team, BED, UVM, and our other partners, sort of what's technologically possible.
It's incredibly important that UVM considers exactly what this means when we talk about implementing a new carbon fee on these buildings, some of which are over 100 years old. So I think we have all really appreciated the opportunity to weigh in on these various discussions and these pieces of the policy that are heavily impactful for us, and the opportunity to look at our campus buildings and say, okay, what's possible here? If we're going to be impacted by a new carbon impact fee, how can we think about this creatively? How can we prioritize the funding to get the work done? And how can we create new funding streams? For instance, we're looking very closely at an energy efficiency green revolving fund on our campus that has a 7-year payback, and maybe there's an opportunity to extend that payback period to address and cover the installation of heat pumps, for instance, possibly even ground source heat pumps. So we're working hard to think creatively about how to address the upfront costs of this issue that we all care deeply about and we know is incredibly urgent. It's incredibly important to the UVM community and to UVM. So creating a collaborative dialogue around how are we going to get there has been, I think, really effective from our view.
So Liz, we've talked a lot about your comprehensive plan, where you are, and some of your plans and aspirations. What are you excited about, given all that, and what lies ahead?
We are incredibly lucky to live in a hub of decarbonization activity. Vermont, this area of the state in particular, has so much exciting work happening. I think of, you know, our partners over at VGS, of course, what's happening in the city of Burlington and also at the state level. And it feels like a lot of us are rowing in the same direction on these issues. In addition, we have a number of innovative companies in our region who are at the cutting edge of renewable energy development. I can think of all of the amazing, innovative stuff happening in a number of industries right around us. So while the charge is incredibly urgent and frankly sometimes overwhelming, it's also a really exciting time to be doing this work. I love seeing students from UVM get excited about it, go into jobs that are working on climate change and renewable energy. And UVM has a lot of great champions for this work. So I think we need to continue to build partnerships between these our different organizations, and UVM needs partners in business, in the clean energy space, in the philanthropy space. And we want to continue to use our campus as a living lab for sustainability so that we can all be leaders on this work and in this area, because it's incredibly important and I think incredibly exciting time to be doing it.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth. It was really a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Thank you again for listening to Net Zero Energy. If you have any questions about this podcast, or what BED offers regarding incentives, rebates, or technological support, look for us at burlingtonelectric.com or call us at 802-865-7300. You can also follow us on Facebook. We're always here to help and look forward to engaging with you on our mutual path to net zero energy.